Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. As always, I am pleased that you are joining us this week. So my motivational quote is by Helen Keller, and she says, "The only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision." So, question. Lately, do you feel like everyone just seems to be compelled to complain about probably almost everything in his or her lives? It's almost as if there's an epidemic of the self-pity, the woe's me, and they get stuck in their own story, whatever that story is, and the feeling that their life is so much more difficult than everybody around them. Enough, right? Well, my guest today, who's just beyond inspiring, is Nancy Solari, and she's an authentic, passionate, and successful example of how you can live the life you want with the right mindset and foundation, regardless of the challenges you face. With perseverance and a desire for greatness, you can begin living full out. Now, Nancy, I want to give you some background on Nancy. Nancy's a best-selling author and a renowned speaker in business success and personal motivation. As a life coach, she has empowered people to overcome their physical and emotional challenges and achieve in order to achieve their goals. Now, when Nancy was 16 years old, she was diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosis. I hope I said pigmentosa, and has experienced progressive vision loss over the years. Now, despite her prognosis, she was resilient in creating a vision for her future and determined to live with purpose and follow her dreams. She went on to work for, wait for it, amazing background. She worked for Good Morning America and Entertainment Tonight, had a professional music career, and was a top producing realtor in Southern California. You go, girl. So today Nancy hosts the National Living Full Out show. She has her own show and is an inspiring example of creating a successful life through determination and positivity. Nancy believes everyone is capable of overcoming adversities and living full out. So please help me welcome my awesome, amazing guest, Nancy, to the show. So thank you for coming on, Nancy, and taking the time.
Well, thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah. So, I mean, I took, by the way, everybody listening, I took pieces of Nancy's bio. There's so much more about her, but due to the element of time, I wanted to give you some highlights as to the really cool lady that she is. So, Nance, my first question, when diagnosed with your eye condition, how did that influence your personal vision for your life and your future?
That's a great question. So when I was diagnosed, I was 16 years old, and I have two other sisters that have RP as well. And, you know, they're just slightly older than I am. And my mom was basically given news that all three of her daughters would most likely go blind by 40. And at 16, my mindset was just getting my license, going to college, you know, that kind of thing. But I think what it did do is, initially, I was told I had a mild case, but that mild case became not so mild as the years went along. I mean, seeing lines on the road disappear and giving up driving, seeing faces disappear, you know, finding that I have to rely on feeling versus seeing things. It's been a really twisty, turny ride, but what I will say is early on, it had me prioritize my life. You know, my sister and I, after a really good couple cry sessions, we kind of got hold of ourselves and we said, well, what do we want to do most? You know, we want to go to Europe. So we went to Europe and traveled through 26 different countries, backpacking through Europe and saw the things that I needed to see while I could, like the Vatican or the Colosseum or, you know, different things we hear about. My grandparents said, if you study a foreign language, we'll send you that country. So I took Japanese, and my sister and I also traveled off to Japan. And then I also put my education first, and I put building my business first. You know, all the things that I thought, wow, I'm going to need my eyes should the doctors be right and I lose my vision by 40. You know, it's kind of game on. And that tenacity, that spirit kind of stayed with me, you know, throughout my life in different things that I've tried.
So how'd you find the confidence early in your career to just, and really just with that whole story, how did you and your sister find the confidence and determination to say, you know what, we're living full out? Like, how did, you were young, you guys were kids. How did you, how did you do that? How did you find that inner confidence and wisdom?
Well, you know, I'm almost surprised my mom let us go, quite frankly, because we were so young. Yeah. But at the same time, I think that where a lot of parents might hold kids back or might say, wait until you're older, when you're given a diagnosis that you might not be able to see something, you know, even my mom opened up her mind and her heart to, you know, I want my girls to take advantage of every opportunity they can while they can still see. None of us knew that it would really go as far, you know, as far as it went. We thought for sure a cure would pop up, but no cure ever has. And so, you know, it's the confidence piece, I think, comes into play where you have to always remember, whether it's blindness, whether it's a heartbreak, whether it's another health condition, that your inner spirit is worth, it's priceless. It's worth so much. And you have to remember that inner spirit is who you are. You know, I may be blind, but I don't walk around with the label of, hi, I'm a blind woman, right?
Right.
I'm hot, Nancy, right?
Yeah, of course.
And so you can be more confident in the world when you don't let the weights of those diagnoses or heartbreaks hold you back.
Now, it's interesting because it was you and your two sisters. So maybe the silver lining, if you can even find a silver lining here, is you went through it with your two siblings, and I'm sure you were close before and probably even closer after, because they're the only ones who understood what you were going through and you what they were going through. Was this something in your genetic pool? Like, had somebody in your grandparents or somebody suffered from this as well?
You know, the strangest thing is, well, my grandmother had macular, we have RP, and they're different. No one, my parents, it was just ironic timing that all three of their kids would have this gene. And it's weird because our gene is called Circle, and it's commonly found in Spaniards, and I'm not of Spanish descent either, so I don't know. It's interesting how it all came together, but it did. And, you know, I can look back now, and I'm in my 40s, and I can look back and I can say, gosh, I wonder what like a fully abled Nancy would be like today.
Wow.
But I don't know that I would have the same empathy, the same heart, the same vigor.
Yep.
I just don't know if it would be the same.
Well, your perspective would be so vastly different. So yeah, maybe you feel more deeply because, you know, the loss of the sight. Well, is it true? And I'll ask this because they say when you lose one sense, your other senses become heightened. Has that been the case for you?
Completely.
Yeah.
I mean, in so many funny ways. I mean, I remember one time being in Santa Monica, California on Wilshire Boulevard, and I was starving, getting out of a meeting. But I smelt the bread from Subway, and I was like, I know there's a Subway around here somewhere. I mean, it was funny. The smell, I followed it, and I found it, you know, and that's just a silly example. But beyond that, you know, for example, in a more meaningful example, when I meet people, I really can't see their face. I might catch a glimpse of a little bit of the eye socket or an ear or something, but for the most part, I fill in what I think somebody looks like based upon their personality.
Sure.
When I shake their hand, based upon their handshake, based upon their hug. So all those other senses now fill in what I can't see.
Sure. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating. I mean, you look at you, right? So you're unstoppable. So all the people, you know, my intro, when I saw your story, you know, you had sent the email and said, I'd love to be on your show and share my story. And I thought, wow, yeah, man, this is the kind of guest that I absolutely adore, because you don't put limitations on yourself. And when you don't, anything is possible, right? So losing your sight, people watching are thinking, oh, I don't know what I would do. Well, I'm sure when you were diagnosed, you didn't think, oh, I have a plan. I know exactly what I'm going to do. You figured it out, right, each step of the way.
Well, I have. And, you know, there are some there are some ways that you're freed when you can't see. You know, like I don't see wrinkles. I don't see gray hairs. I mean, I check in with people and make sure, do I have them? What's going on? Right? Because I haven't really seen my face clearly in years. But, or, you know, just even going somewhere like the grocery store. I'm an intentional shopper. I'm not looking at, ooh, I want that. Ooh, I want that, because I can't see it. Sure. So in life, you know, you are very focused, and it's sometimes easier just because you're walking down the path that you know, and you know what you're going for.
That's true. You're just so diligent with it, though. It's fascinating, and how you help people, you know, find their voice, find their mojo, find whatever path they should be on is just inspiring. You're inspiring. So now I have another question. Over the years, right, I'm sure you've had many, many relationships. Was it difficult to nurture those relationships? Is that a weird question?
No, it's a great question. You know, that's a really good one. So because over the years is a really long path, I would say that it's interesting in life how people, I think, should choose their words, and I have to do it too. And so it's always been very interesting, the people who strive to get me. I got a good friend one time who said to me, you know, one day I was home and I was thinking about you, and I just decided I would squint my eyes, you know, and I didn't even watch my show by looking at it. I just listened to it. And I so appreciated that, because she wanted to have some sense of what it was like to be me for 1 hour, you know. Yeah. Or, you know, there are certain friends that are just so nurturing and loving, and you know, it isn't like they baby me, but honestly, they don't want their Nancy to get hurt, you know, and I appreciate that, you know. And so you find out who your real friends are when something happens in your life like this. And then, you know, it's made the people that are surface people or people who are in it for themselves, it's made them stand out, kind of like a sore thumb, really, versus the really genuine, meaningful people. So again, I think when I look down memory lane of all the friends I have now in my life and the relationships I've had, the core group that I have now is that loving group that I want to be with.
It's wonderful. Yeah, they are your peeps, right? We all need our peeps in our life. So I'm going to flip the question. How do you feel you nurture, like if I was interviewing one of your friends, how would they say that you nurture them? Like, you just, that was a beautiful description of your one girlfriend who thought, let me squint my eyes and see what she goes through every day. I'm going to do it for an hour, right? That was true compassion to look through your perspective. How have you nurtured others? I'm curious.
Well, most of my friends would say that when they sit down with me, they do all the talking. I found in life that people long to be heard. People long to vent. People long to share something personal about themselves. They're just a lot of times not given that opportunity. It's go, 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 do, do, do. It's how's the weather? And so a lot of times, I think, obviously I interview a lot of people on our show and so forth, but you know, I'll sit down with somebody and I'll ask them, how do you feel? And sometimes that's almost uncomfortable at first for them to tap into. Well, no one's been asking me that. Like, I don't know how I feel. And as you start to allow that person to talk, they talk and they talk and they talk. And then a lot of times they're like, oh my God, it's been 45 minutes. How are you doing? You know? And I'm okay with that. I'm at peace with that, because it's giving that person the time to have that voice.
Yeah. It's funny, because listening skills as a society, we're really bad. We have so much noise in our lives. Just like you said, go, 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 do, do, do. We don't take the time or opportunity to truly listen to those that are closest to us, because we're always in go mode, hyper mode, right? So this opportunity that you provide is probably such a gift, because most of us humans, right, that we interact with humans, we lack that skill. So that's fascinating. That you've honed that ability to be compassionate at such an extraordinary level. That's remarkable to me.
Well, I think it's a gift, and we can all give it. We all have that ability.
Agree. Yep. Yeah. You have to try, and you have to want to, and you know, it's not always about me, right? It's about the other person. And sometimes just extending that hand from a helpful place is is wonderful, and we all need it. We're all lacking something. We're all dealing with some type of tragedy or demon, or right. We all have our crap, right, Nance? It is what it is.
Right.
Yeah. So on the days that are, and we all have bad days, right? So you're human, just like the rest of us. But on the days that are truly, truly difficult, what just keeps you thinking, nope, I've got this?
You know, on the days that are difficult, and difficult could be the fact that, because everything in my life talks, my computer talks, my phone talks, you know, difficult could be when my computer isn't talking because something's not happening. We've all had computer issues, but when you're a visually impaired person, you can't see it and it's not talking, that's a problem. Or, you know, just when I'm harboring the emotions of another person going through something. What I find is switching the energy is really important. And maybe this again goes back to my other senses more than my seeing. If I jump in the shower, you know, you can go into the shower angry, sad, whatever emotions you're going to feel. And you might flush that out with tears and grunting in the shower. But you're always going to come out of that shower more refreshed, a little bit more hopeful than you did when you went in. It just won't be at the same epic level. Or, you know, I do believe in the senses of drinking something warm or cold, just switching the energy even in the mouth, because the mouth and the throat lead to our heart, lead to our core, and you got to kind of keep that fresh and keep that feeling whole and warm. Does that make sense? So I think there's a lot of things that we can do. You know, sometimes it's just switching the energy of being in a different environment. If you're having a really tough work day, or you know what, you're just feeling the stress of home, then get out of the home, get out of the work, go outside. So for me, that really helps. Now, I will say that I think sometimes a good cry is needed, but quantify it. Give yourself 5 minutes, give yourself a half an hour, give yourself an hour, and then know that you're going to allow yourself to be pulled out. I also think you need to kind of have your Fab Three or your Fab Five. Who are those people in your life that you can go to for different reasons? Absolutely. If I'm sad, I have my go-to empathetic friends. They're not going to let me wallow in sadness, but they're really going to hear me. Yeah. Versus if I have a business challenge, I have those career savvy friends and I turn to them and they get me. So you got to have in your life those go-to people.
Agree 100%. It's you can't, and I don't care who you are, how healthy you are, right? With all of our senses, etc. We all need people. We just can't do it alone. And I remember when I started my business, it's almost 20 years ago, Nance. I'm going to be 58 in November this year. And, you know, I was 39 years old, and my mom and dad babysat for me. Otherwise, I never would have been able to open a business, because you're opening a business, that customer needs me. I had babies. I had a 1-year-old and a 4-year-old. How do you call them up and say, oh, my kid's sick, I can't come in? They wouldn't call me back. So, you know, that dependency on my mom and dad, not dependency, but they empowered me to say, we got this, go, do what you have to do. And I knew my kids were safe. Everybody needs someone at some point, and probably daily, but we're so afraid. And do you find this with the guests you have on? We're afraid to ask for help.
You know, it's really interesting. Some guests we have on our show and some guests we don't have on our show. And the defining moment for each of those is who's willing to really be vulnerable and who's looked in the mirror and has really acknowledged what went right, what went wrong. And some people, it's just safer to live in the space of, I don't want to talk about it, I don't want to think about it, I want to move forward. And that's okay. But I really believe in just what you said there, looking backwards, seeing that, feeling that moment at 39, those young kids starting that business to where you are today. Like, we don't want to erase our past. We want to celebrate it and see the growth. So I just applaud and I appreciate people who are courageous to dig in the past to find the treasures of the lessons.
It's true. And I think it was Steve Jobs. He did one of the commencement speeches for one of the Ivy League schools. And I don't remember the school right now. But he said at the commencement speech, like, you kids are starting out and you're thinking, what do I want to be? What do I want to do? And he said, it doesn't matter. Like, you don't have to figure it out today. what will happen, he said, is as I look back on my life, there were all these little stepping stones. Some are the right ones, some are the wrong ones. But all of them really were the right ones because they taught me something I needed to learn to move forward. And he says, and when I look back at my stepping stones, it was the perfect path for me to be here today with all of you. So stop stressing, what am I going to be when I grow up? And just take the first step and trust your intuition, right? Trust yourself. And we don't do enough of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I love that. Looking back and finding those little treasures in your life, because we all have them too. I don't care how bad your life is. We all have those treasures, those moments of gratitude where you think, wow, I was so blessed that that happened, or so-and-so stepped up to help me. We have to capture those moments and really embrace them, because we could focus on all the bad stuff that's happening, but we need to focus on some of the good, right? So that's important. I have another question for you. How are you resourceful and uncovering? There's always new resources, especially with technology and stuff. And I bet with being visually impaired, there's probably tons of resources. How do you figure all that out and navigate it?
Such a great question. So that's a big question, only because what I might need resources for is going to be different than someone else in your audience.
Sure.
But here is the good news. As rare as a stress crisis challenge may seem in the moment for us, oh my gosh, no one's going to understand. I promise you, someone has had some version of that challenge. May not be exact, but some version of. And it's amazing how with YouTube, with just online in general, Pinterest, you know, you can usually call up any situation that you're going through and somebody will have been through it. You know, there's in-person support groups, there's online support groups, there's networking groups. There's so many ways in which you can connect with people. I also find that for me, like, again, I feel like when it comes to career, I need certain resources there. Well, I will turn to other people who might have if I have a production, like an equipment question, I will turn to someone else who knows production. If it's a speaking question, if it's a social media question, I will find people that have those answers. Now, I do believe in not taking one person's word as the only truth. Mm. I believe that in life, you want to talk to two or three people and compare notes. Really important. And that's true with anything that you do in life. If you're going to, and I used to be a realtor, right, for 13 years, interview three realtors, right? If you're going to pick an accountant, interview three accountants, see what they all say. Pick the person that you resonate with the most. And that's true for any aspect of your life.
It's you're right. And right, no matter what the problem, no matter what the situation, interview or talk to three different people or look at three resources, and usually you'll find something that either resonates with you or a combination of all three of those opinions or whatever it might be. So that's just good advice for everybody, you know, not necessarily someone with your situation. How do you find that you bring balance into your life? What works with you? Because, like, you know, work-life balance is real.
Yeah. You know, there's been times that I've been out of balance where I've worked from, you know, up until the wee hours. But I find that balance is really figuring out how do I fit in my day? We all have the same 24 hours. How do I fit in my day what I want for my body, for my mind, for my life? So what I mean by that is I want my eyes to last as long as they can. So I know that I need to close them. I need to relax them. So where I do appreciate sleep for the mind, I also like to rest my eyes and get plenty of sleep now for my eyes. So, you know, finding going to bed early. I'm an early bird. I also know that I want to be in physical good shape, but I also know that my phone start ringing at 7 a.m. PST, which is 10 a.m. EST, because that's when our doors open. So I choose to get up at 5 a.m., 4 a.m. sometimes to get up, work out, and do Nancy personal time. You know, I choose to spend time to call friends or see friends. So I think how you spend your day or how you choose to bring balance into your life is a choice. And if you're lopsided or if you feel lopsided, it is never too late to kind of pull it back. And so you kind of want to look at yourself, your life, like a pie. We say this a lot at Living Full Out, right? If you have a big whole pie and you're going to slice it up for friends, right? Everybody gets a slice. So consider your one slice is your career. One slice is your family, your siblings, your parents. One slice might be friends. They might have their own slice, right? And then find a way to bring balance in the 7 days, giving 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour to each slice.
It's true, and it doesn't have to be big blocks of time. You know, a quick phone call. You could call a friend and say, "Listen, I was going to text you. I wanted to hear your voice. I have to run to a meeting, but I just want you to know I was thinking of you. Everything good? We need to schedule a lunch date or a breakfast date or Skype or, you know, depending on where they're located in reference to where you're located." It takes sometimes 30 seconds, and we forget to fit that in, and that's how we go out of balance. It's funny, when I was still working at a bank, and I did investments for the bank, and then I got offered a position to run 100 branches, you know, in the bank network, and we were merging, and it was in the 80s, so I'm really dating myself, Nance, but we were merging, and I was working 16, 17-hour days, and I had my one son, and I loved what I was doing. I loved my job, but I felt like I wasn't seeing my kid, and that made me a mess. And as the universe answers, I was come back, and someone from another division said, "Con, we want to give you a reduced work week," which was unheard of in the early 90s, to work 3 days a week because I had this kid, and to job share with another female who had come back, had a baby. And I was like, "Yeah, let's do it." So it the opportunity presents, but I had to know myself for me to see that opportunity as, "Oh my goodness, this is exactly what I was looking for." How do you like that? It fell in my lap, right?
See, I love it. And that's where I think the power of positive thinking and affirmations and meditating is very powerful. But you have to sit in enough silence and be zoomed in enough into your inner core to figure out what that is. Yeah. If you're moving too fast, you're never going to have that quality time with yourself to have that chit-chat.
With the people you coach, what do you find that you speak to? What do you find is their hang-up? And that's not the right word, but what is their biggest challenge? That's a better word.
People are generally people-pleasers, most people. Where most people really do not want to say no, or they want to be everywhere, or they want to look good, or they want to have the right things, or they want to give their kids what they didn't have growing up, or they want to reach higher in their career than they thought was possible, right? And that's great. I firmly believe and support dreaming big. I mean, living—that's a large part of what Living Full Out's about.
Sure.
However, I think sometimes you have to slow down the car of life, right? You have to slow it down and you have to assess, you know, am I living in a toxic environment? Or does this environment, could be your home, could be your work, does it allow me to step into being the person when I close my eyes at night and I dream of being? You know, are the people in my life, are they moochers? Are they supporters? Are they just bumps on a log and they're just not doing anything?
Absolutely.
You know, like what does that look like? And then you also have to kind of look at, am I spending my money in the right places? You know, people don't consider looking at their budget or looking at their bills. You know, they just pay it and move on, or they choose sometimes don't pay it and move on, right? So looking at your finances, you know, looking at different aspects of your life to just take an assessment. Just take a pulse, take an assessment, see how things are going, and then start the car again and keep driving forward. But you know what? Maybe 3 months later, 6 months later, stop the car again. You know, pause all commitments.
Yes.
Assess. Because I think the problem is we just go and we go and we go. So the people who call into the show, my clients that I work with, they're just exhausted. And that's where the balance part comes in, because they don't want to let anybody down. They don't want to drop any balls. And they're worried that they're not going to meet the expectations that they have for themselves or others. And you know what? Wow. Put a fork in me. That just sounds like a lot of responsibility, right?
Absolutely.
And so I remind people, don't forget to have fun. Remember fun, that three-letter word? So we have to remember to have fun and be silly and giggle. And so that's really what I try to get people to come back around to.
How do you use your experience, you know, your past, and again, the buildup of losing the eyesight and then building this wonderful business and the podcast that you host and all these things? How do you take what you've learned from those life lessons, translate them for how you can use them personally in the future? But I even think, I'm sure you use them in trying to help other people move forward and creating their future. How do you find you have a system or a way of doing that?
You know, the system is honestly just leading with my heart, truly. Nice. I mean, when I go into an interview, because I can't see, I don't have a note card. I don't read a bio. I invest time in talking to the person for a little bit before I interview them to find out, you know, what were they thinking? What were they feeling? Remember, it's that same conversation have my friends. Sure. And I want them to have that moment. And then from there, it translates to an amazing interview. Same with the coaching clients. So I have found that, you know, when I in business lead with my heart, you know, that sixth sense, right, that intuition, sure. You know, you're never going to go wrong. It's just sometimes you have to color outside the lines in the sense of being fearless, being able to take risks, you know, and sometimes, and then when you do that, you find uncharted territory. And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to try this, right? So in some ways we have to be not afraid to discover in life. And so what I find is with the guests I have on my show, friends, clients, you name it, I just like how I want to find self-discovery in my life, I love being right beside them on that journey too. You know, let's uncover what you don't know. You know what you know, but let's see what you don't know. That's the exciting life.
I love mm-hmm. it. You had one, we're almost out of time, but I have to ask this, and it wasn't, you know, we hadn't decided this question in advance, so I hope you can answer it. If you had to pick one word to describe you, the essence of Nancy Solari, what would that word be?
You know, that's a great question. Earlier this year, we chose some mantra words and a couple of friends of mine and everybody. And I really love my word. It's believe, you know, and I believe in a cure. I believe in love. I believe in losing those 5-10 pounds I still want to lose. I believe in things being possible.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And I have to be honest, that's a great word for you, because you have to believe, or you wouldn't be where you are now with your career and your life and all the wonderful people in your life. You know, you've had a remarkable journey that you have made inspiring and believe, right? Just believe. It's the magic of Christmas, right? I celebrate Christmas. That's my background. But that magic, you believe in the magic of life, right? Just believe and everything will come, right? It falls into place. The universe does give us what we need, right? Whether we realize it or not.
And that's the distinction. It may not give us what we want, but it's going to give us what we need.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. Which sometimes, like, I didn't sign up for this, right? Especially you with your situation. Guys, exactly. If you have not been inspired by my buddy Nancy, there's something wrong with you. So if she has inspired you and you want to get more Nancy, please go to her website, which is livingfullout.com. And if you'd like to connect with Nancy's, you know, and have questions or whatever specifically for her, because her computer talks to her, go to connect@livingfullout.com. And, you know, Nancy can help you, obviously, look at the inspiring words. You've made my day, Nancy, I have to tell you. You're a pleasure to speak with. You have a great sense of humor, which I love, because we can't take ourselves too seriously. So I just love all of your energy is just fabulous. So again, livingfullout.com or connect@livingfullout.com. And guys, my partner and I are still giving our free communication style assessment away. So go to my other website, which is wisdomdecoded.com right on that landing page, you get your free communication style assessment. You get reports. So it gives you, lets you dig into, like we were talking about today, right? Figuring out who am I? You get to peel back your onion a little bit with those free reports. So check it out. I will post Nancy's contact information and website. So a lot of people commute with us, Nance. So we don't want them driving and riding, right? Pay attention to the road. So I do post it on the website so you guys can find Nance easily. I can't thank you enough. You are truly inspiring. You're magnificent. You're one of my favorite guests, I have to say. I personally wish you tremendous success in your next, 50 years of doing what you're doing, and just changing the world one person at a time. It sounds like what you're doing, and I love it. I think that's pretty cool.
Well, thank you, and I've really had a great time on the show. And for your audience, just remember, go out there, believe, live full out, and have fun.
Have fun. Isn't that true? Such an easy word, but we don't do it well. Nice. And I hope you guys will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together that this thing we talk about is change in our lives. And here's yet another wonderful guest, Nancy, who shared some beautiful ideas and tips and ways that we can navigate that change and create the life that we desire instead of the life we think we should have, right? No more shoulda, woulda, coulda. Just go out and live full out. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. Thank you all for joining me. And again, Nancy, thank you so much for being on. It's truly been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, whitmanassoc.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.